Hello and welcome to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today. I'm Darren Hefty along with my brother Brian. We're going to be talking about soybean burn down on today's program and taking your calls and questions at 844-44-AG-PHD. And of course, you can always email us radio@agphd.com.
All right, so we're going to kick things off just talking about soybean burn down a little bit today. And then we're going to get to your questions in the Ag PhD mailbag. But I just wanted to say experience is just so unbelievably helpful when it comes to farming and really, I suppose, all aspects of life. But if you look on the label of just about any pesticide, it doesn't give you a lot for guidance in terms of spray temperature. But for Darren and I, we've been agronomists for a really long time, over 30 years, and we tracked Roundup and glyphosate complaints for many years with thousands of farmers. And you know what it really stemmed back to in our analysis? Temperature. If the nighttime temp was below 50 degrees, that led us to our recommendation that we have today, 50% we want you to increase that glyphosate rate by. So let me restate that. If your nighttime temp is below 50 degrees within 2 days before or 2 days after spraying, we want you to increase your glyphosate rate by 50%, provided that's still on label. As an example, today, 70 degrees here. Now, granted, it's too windy to spray, but still, let's say it was. Well, tonight, low is 43. Tomorrow night, the low is 33. Our other big lesson is, if the nighttime temp's going to get below 32 degrees, if it's going to freeze, don't be spraying any time close to then, because what happens is when the temperature is cold, for one, the plant isn't very receptive. It's not bringing in a lot of herbicide. But the other big factor is it doesn't move to the growing point the way that it normally would. If the temp gets below 32, you've lost some of your foliage, which means even less will get into the plant. And the whole goal here is by the time that herbicide arrives at the growing point or growing points, you've got a lethal dose. Well, if you can't get as much into the plant, that hurts you. And if it doesn't move as quickly to the growing point or growing points, a little bit gets lost all along the way. The longer it takes, the less there is by the time it reaches a growing point, and you just don't have weed kill. And this is part of the reason why sometimes you go, oh, it looks like the weed's going to die. And then it doesn't quite die. And then you got a problem. Because now you got a weed that's mad. You got a weed that's perhaps building tolerance to your herbicide. It's not actively growing, so you can't go right back out and spray. And by the time you can go back out and spray, you go, oh man, my crop is up and I got other weeds and I got all these other problems. So when you do it, your burn down, you want to do it right, if at all possible. So that's why, as a general rule, we're telling people, look, if the temperature is going to be cold, if you can, let's wait. Let's just wait until the weather's a little bit warmer. Let the weeds get up a little bit more. They're not going to grow much when the nighttime temp is in the 40s or 30s especially. So just give it a little bit more time. Now, if you have to go with any product you're going to be using, we want you to bump the rate and maybe even, as long as it's on label, okay, and maybe even switch adjuvants. In other words, like a crop oil or methylated seed oil is going to give you more burn than a non-ionic surfactant. And it also makes a lot of difference what you're putting together. So 2,4-D, for example, will shut the plant down quickly, and Roundup won't get the chance to work very well if it's tank mixed with 2,4-D, at least if you're going after a perennial weed. If you're going after an annual weed, who cares? Dead is dead. And once it's dead to the ground, it's basically dead pretty much all the annual weeds. But with perennial weeds, that's where we really want to get those roots controlled and stop that thing permanently. So, all right, here's one other thing that I wanted to bring up today. Liberty. You probably haven't even thought about Liberty as a burn down, but let's go back in time. Okay, think about 30 years ago, 20 years ago. Roundup was the product for burn down. It was Roundup, 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 and maybe you'll throw something with it. Okay. Well, now that we got all these Roundup resistant weeds, you can use Roundup, but it's not going to kill a bunch of the weeds you're after. Okay. Or Two, you could go to Gramoxone, and a lot of people have done that over the years, but keep in mind, Gramoxone is fairly dangerous. It's just as dangerous as the gasoline you pump in your car every day, which I'd prefer not to use that on my farm. So you can. There's nothing wrong with it necessarily, but you just have to be much more careful than with almost any other pesticide. Okay, then you end up with Liberty. Liberty is very similar to Gramoxone in that it is a contact killer. So you've got to have great spray coverage. With Roundup or 2,4-D or dicamba, it can get on a few leaves and it can move through the plant. That's not the way that Gramoxone and Liberty work. They have to have great spray coverage, try to coat every leaf, and also keep this in mind, we're not that worried about we aren't worried at all about volatility with Liberty, with Gramoxone, with Roundup. So early in the season, if there's nothing up, we're not worried about neighboring crops, it's great if you can have a little bit smaller spray droplet and get yourself a little bit better coverage. So certainly we want you to be aware of drift at all times. Okay, I'm not saying don't pay attention to that, but I am saying the better coverage you can get, the better weed control you will have, even with Roundup, but especially with Liberty and Gramoxone. But anyway, with the whole Liberty thing, it's so much less expensive now than it was a couple of years ago that you could actually probably do that for similar money to Gramoxone, and you should get similar control, and you got a product that's much safer and something you're going to use on more acres on your farm. So it's at least something that I would like you to consider. It wouldn't surprise me at all if Liberty is less expensive by next year too, and then it'll really be appealing to you. That's my guess. We'll see what happens next year. So last thing I'll throw out. When you're doing burn down, it's a great time to add a residual herbicide to get yourself residual later on into the season. I don't care what crop we're talking about. We love having residual, so you don't have to spray your post-emerge herbicide as early. So anyway, we'll talk more about burn down herbicides today. We're also going to get to your questions in the Ag PhD mailbag coming up later in the show. If you've got a question for us, just email us, radio@agphd.com. Stay tuned. We're going to get to the phone lines right after this.
Farming comes with trade-offs. An extra pass means dinner in the cab. An early morning becomes a late night. Unnecessary restrictions turn into headaches. But when you make Enlist herbicides the foundation of your herbicide program, the trade-offs will be in your favor. Effective weed control that's ready to work when you are. Flexible tank mix options and neighbor-friendly applications, all without the need to jump through hoops. See what you'll gain with America's most trusted herbicide system protecting your Enlist E3 soybean fields at Enlist.com.
When it comes to fungal diseases like soybean white mold and STS, you know how devastating yield loss can be. That's why you work with your seed dealer to find the best genetics for your farm. Did you know you can bring forward the defensive traits of those genetics with a seed treatment? Heads up, a biological plant activator primes your seed to turn on its natural defense against disease. This spring, take your yields to the finish line. Ask your seed dealer for a Heads Up seed treatment.
On your farm, you spend thousands on fertilizer every season. But how do you know if any nutrient you apply is paying for itself? Build a fertility plan like never before with Verify. With Verify's soil point to yield analysis, you can automatically see the connection between your soil test and yield data to see which fertilizer dollars will make you money and which won't. Go to verify.com to get started today. That's VRAFY.com. Warning, high yields incoming. Upgrading your planter with Germinator closing wheels can increase your corn yields by 13 bushels in no-till and 7 bushels in conventional. Are your bins ready? Call Farm Shop MFG at 712-520-6051.
Tame tough weeds with a pre-plant application of Revitan, a powerful burn-down herbicide. Revitan drops the hammer on more than 50 species of tough weeds with great tank mix compatibility and low use rates. Learn more at helmcrop.com/Revitan. Always read and follow label directions.
Welcome back to Ag PhD Radio. Brian Hefty here, along with my brother Darren. We are live in the Morton studio today just talking about soybean burn down options. One thing I was talking before the break about all the products we would encourage you to use. One thing I would encourage you to think about not using would be 2,4-D if you don't have 2,4-D tolerant soybeans. So we've seen this done for many years where a lot of people like to use 2,4-D. I just get really concerned about that because we've seen crop injury often. So we'd rather have you use something else other than 2,4-D just to be on the safe side. And even if it dings your beans just a little bit, why take the risk? It's dangerous for soybeans. So unless you got Enlist soybeans, I'd encourage you skip the 2,4-D. Use something else in there instead.
Hey, Bram, we had a comment come in from Sam who had done a burn down, and we talked to him last week that they had some rain just as he was leaving the field, and our advice was, well, just wait and see. He said it is yellowing, and so he's really hopeful that it's going to die. Yeah, you just got to keep an eye on that. That's one thing too. A lot of these burn down products don't work quite as fast as sometimes we hope they do. We hope it just means, oh, right away the field will be all brown. And I mean, if you're using Gramoxone at a high rate with a little help, a little kicker in there of 2,4-D or something, then yes, I would expect it to be brown quickly. But otherwise,
don't use 2,4-D with that. We'll talk more about that later in the show.
All right. Let's go. First of all, we got Phil Krieg with us right now with Syngenta, who may have some comments about that as well. How you doing, Phil?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good. You know, one of the cool things about your job, you guys have quite a pipeline, lots of new products coming all the time. Where do you want to start? You want to start on new stuff or you want to start on old things?
Oh, I'm pretty flexible. I can start anywhere you would like to start.
All right. Well, what are you most excited to talk to growers about as they head out to spray a burn down application this year?
On soybeans, when we look at spraying these burn downs and so on and so forth, we are seeing some weeds here in southern Illinois that are a little bit farther along than what they normally would be because of the mild winter of 2024. We're seeing some pretty good stands of mare's tail out there and a few other problem weeds that the last couple of years we haven't had to deal with.
You know, that's a good point, because what do we want to see with weeds? Obviously, we'd prefer to see none, but if they're up, we'd sure like to see them small. But wow, what a winter. I mean, what a February and March that we went through. And you're right, a lot of these weeds are way ahead.
They sure are. Our wheat crop is about 10 days ahead of schedule as well. So it pretty well shows that everything we're doing is just a little bit ahead of where we normally would be.
All right, so talk herbicides with us a little bit and maybe a couple considerations, seeing that we have some bigger weeds.
So when we think about going into these burn down situations, I think I heard you guys mention Gramoxone a little while ago. And when we think about mare's tail, the addition of Tendovo to Gramoxone has proven to be a really good addition in that burn down application. Tendovo is a combination of S-metolachlor, metribuzin, and chloranthalam, which we would know as the active ingredient that's in First Rate. And we've seen a very good uptick in the burn down of especially mare's tail with this Tendovo.
You know, a lot of folks would say, well, what about these different ingredients here? What's it adding? And I know from past experience with the metribuzin, just metribuzin alone adds quite a kick to it. And then you've got First Rate. If you don't have ALS resistance, there's a certain percentage of the population that's going to be lights out as well. So you got some good ingredients there.
Yeah, and it's about bringing those ingredients together at good full rates. For example, 2 quarts of Tendovo contains 1.82 pints of S-metolachlor, 6.85 ounces of metribuzin, and 0.62 ounces of chloranthalam, our First Rate. So you can see that we didn't cut back anything on that in that application, especially when we look at as early as some of the soybeans are being planted. There's two things that we have to consider. We have to consider needing extended broadleaf weed control and control of water hemp for a longer period of time until we get to crop canopy. Plus, with these early planted soybeans and the variability of some of the weather that we have from cool to warm, from wet to dry, crop safety is definitely important here when we make that herbicide application. I had some pictures sent to me this week where some beans had been planted and no residual chemistry had been put down, and the water hemp was about as thick as a carpet. And so they were already running behind in that scenario, which is not where you want to be.
No, no, it's sure not. And I do like the idea of combining burn down with residual elements as well. That just bodes well for farmers, especially this spring. We're seeing a lot of areas, guys, are intermittent rains, and we get in the field for a few days, and then it's too windy. We can't get stuff done. If you can get a couple applications taken care of with residual and burn down together, we sure like that strategy. I've been talking with Phil Krieg here with Syngenta. Phil, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on.
No problem. Thank you.
Got Lily Zimmer on with us right now with FMC. How you doing, Lily?
Oh, things are good down here in Nebraska. How are you?
Good, good. Well, you guys got some rain through much of the state, which I would assume is pretty welcome.
Yes, yes. No, farmers, it kind of puts them in a good mood, and here as well, getting some of our early herbicides activated, so...
You know, Phil was just talking about how some of these weeds got a pretty good jump on us. And I know driving through Nebraska here in recent weeks, there were quite a few winter annuals out there that got a start. What have you been noticing in your territory, and what recommendations are you making for growers this spring?
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. With some of those warmer temps we had earlier and a good amount of rainfall, man, it's been a heck of a year for both hen pit and field pennycress. That we've seen here across the state. I mean, I've drove across a few fields that it almost looks like there's a cover crop out there. So, you know, it's just one of those things that farmers need to be mindful of, going out there and taking a look at, you know, what weed pressures they have. And we talk about recommendations. We always want to make sure if we do have a lot of those winter annual weeds making a comeback there, that we need to make sure that we're having our burn down applications alongside our residual herbicides. So here at FMC, that's always kind of incorporating a product like AIM alongside of our authority brands on the soybean acre. So,
you know, the other thing that's going in a lot, Lily, is either an Enlist One application in front of Enlist soybeans, or an Extendamax or Ingenia application in front of the Extend Flex beans. How is that working together? I know there have been some growers that have said, well, sometimes mixing with Roundup, especially with the Enlist products, has been a little tricky. They get the order right and all those kinds of things. Has it been a challenge for you? I know you've got quite a few different combinations here with the authority brands.
You know, occasionally it has been a challenge, but as long as the temperatures and growing conditions are right, we haven't seen too many issues, but just something to think about, you know, with each one of those traded soybeans, that we make sure that we get those right products out there and using as many modes of action as we can to kind of combat some of those more heavily infested fields, so.
Yeah, I guess from my experience, a little bit more water in the tank has often helped things rather than dumping everything together first and then add more of the water later. Having a little bit of water in there ahead seems to give the herbicides a little more place to bind to.
Yep, yep. Nope, that's exactly right.
All right, when we're out there with these burn down type applications and bigger weeds, I guess... I kind of like it. If we can take this first flush out, maybe that bodes well for us going forward.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, it always helps to start with a clean field as we go into planting. So burn down applications are really helping with that. When we talk about a product with AIM added in there, I know that with these winter annual weeds getting a head start, some of our foliar technologies do really well, but having AIM in the tank when we have those applications out is really helping on those larger weeds, especially if we do have some cooler weather ahead of us. So,
yeah, growers have liked that on kochia in addition to the henbit and pennycress. A lot of these winter annual and early season annual weeds, adding that extra kicker in there for not very much money, and also no rotational restrictions with the AIM too, has been a nice thing for growers that have multiple crops out there. Don't have to worry about that one. Talking with Lily Zimmer here with FMC. Lily, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on today.
Yep, thank you.
Talking soybean burn down on our program today and taking your calls and questions at 844-44-AG-PHD. Stay tuned.
Right now at CNB, get 0% financing for 72 months on select John Deere compact utility tractors, riding mowers, and gators. Hurry, offer ends April 30th, 24. Visit DeereEquipment.com. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
Get more durability for less downtime with Soil Warrior strip tillage from Environmental Tillage Systems. Improve fertilizer efficiency and reduce passes and fuel usage. Now that's ROI. Learn more about ETS at soilwarrior.com.
If you look close enough, you can see the hidden potential within your fields. That's why an agro-liquid nutrition plan starts with the crop and identifies the precise combination of primary nutrients while focusing on the support of secondary and micronutrients. So every nutrient is working in harmony for your crop to reach its full potential, maximizing growth while offering lower use rates. Apply less, expect more? Precisely. Find an agro-liquid dealer at agroliquid.com.
Morton Buildings has served the American farmer for more than 120 years. From manufacturing our own building components to constructing your building, Morton takes pride in being the industry leader in post-frame construction by providing a quality building and exceptional customer service. A Morton is built to last for generations. To get started on your next project, please visit mortonbuildings.com.
Every season, you're collecting yield data on virtually every acre of your farm. But what good is your data if you never use it? Put it to work with Verify. Verify takes yield data directly from your combine and instantly generates variable rate fertility maps based on crop removal, ensuring your crops get what they need, right where they need it, no matter what equipment you run. Go to verify.com to find an expert to help you get started. That's VRAFY.com.
My mom's got a new Case IH tractor, and it can do it all. Bale hay all day. See in the dark with its powerful LED lights. Hook up all the implements. Ship like a race car, steer with ease. And it can also cool my juice box. Yeah, her Case IH tractor can do everything she needs it to.
Looking for a tractor that can do it all? Check out caseih.com.
The hard-working, independent spirit of rural America can often be isolating. It's not often discussed, but mental health issues are real. Now's the time to lead by example, talk openly, and show that a strong mind is just as important as a strong body. FMC is proud to be working toward ending the misconceptions around mental health. Through awareness, guidance, and action, together we can uproot the stigma.
You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. Thanks for joining us today. We're talking about soybean burn down on today's program. I'm taking your calls and questions at 844-44-AG-PHD. And whenever we get into these topics, one thing I like to bring up is, well, you know, you could have done a fall application as well or instead. And, you know, a lot of these fields that are lighting up with winter annuals, there are some fields that aren't lighting up at all. Many times the grower did a fall treatment. Got our friend Trevor Dale with Valent on right now. How you doing, Trevor?
I'm doing great, Darren. How are you?
Good, good. All right, you've been talking about fall treatments for years, and obviously you see some guys doing one field or, hey, let's just try it out on part of the farm and see the difference. It sure helps, especially on a year like this where we get good early growing conditions.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, I had just a question here earlier this morning, and it also alleviates, you know, if you're using dicamba in the fall, but, you know, you're growing enlist beans or vice versa, you don't have to worry about that stuff like you do in a spring burn down.
Sure, sure.
And then I always say that most all these are what winter annuals or perennials and things like that that are at least always in my experience been better kills in the fall. But if you haven't done that yet, you need to hit them this spring.
Yeah, and one thing, Trevor, that we've seen kind of a trend, and you tell me if this is accurate, but it sure seems like a lot of growers that we talk to that have been using Valor for years have kind of upped their game to Fierce and some of those combinations. What are you seeing? Is there a trend to move, or are guys just increasing rates on Valor for these big weeds? What are you seeing?
Well, I tell if you're using Straight Valor to definitely increase the rate and do things like you guys suggest all the time, Metribuzin, Prowl, other things. Yeah, weed control just in general and really any crop is not getting easier. We have a limited amount of tools that we can use. And so we do have a lot of people switching to Fierce and to Fierce MTZ as well. Just more modes of action, broader spectrum. And then there's some areas where, you know, they're fighting not only broadleaves, but in grasses in some areas. So that's where the Fierce brands really help a lot there as well.
What's happening with the Valor formulations? Any changes this year?
No changes. We still have the liquid Valor EZ. So that's in the Bayer Plus programming and financing, and then the dry formulation of Valor SX. So they're both used at the same exact rates, but just one that's more aligned with the Bayer Plus program for those folks and comes with the financing, and the other one doesn't. So just depends on the farmer.
What are you seeing with perpetual use, Trevor? This is one we've gotten a number of questions about. A lot of guys using early post. If you're setting yourself up for that, does that change what you do with your burn down?
Well, yeah. So that's a great, great in-crop. It's not just an in-crop residual. It's an in-crop, and it's going to help tremendously with, it water hemp a lot of the broadleaf weeds. We've seen it for years where, like, for example, Liberty by itself can be so-so on lamb's quarters, especially if they get any size. And so Perpetuo's got Resource in there, and it really does a nice job in those tank mixes. But now in the last couple of years, we've seen it. It has some pretty significant activity on water hemp as well. So, you know, on the soybean burn down, I always caution guys, if you're no-till or, you know, strip till, I consider no-till as well, to really make sure that whatever you did for a burn down worked. Sometimes it doesn't, and sometimes you have to jump the gun and plant it anyways. Well, that resource in Perpetuo is going to help a lot for any of those escapes or things like that in crop.
Yeah, I just love having multiple modes of action in about anything that we do, just to knock down weeds that are up and weeds that are resistant or just flat out tough.
Yeah, and they're just getting tougher. it seems like every year there's this weed's getting more difficult to control, or now we got this one that, you know, now grasses in some areas, and it's like, we need to be vigilant, and so that's why I generally don't recommend just a straight Valor, although there have, you know, guys use it and are successful. And in those cases, with a single product like that out there, then they really need to consider something like Perpetuo with their post application, and that it's a timely application.
Yeah, being timely is one of the real keys to getting herbicide applications to work. And right now we get some weeds that are getting kind of big out there. So when conditions get right, I know a lot of guys are going to be doing their soybean burn down. So we're talking about it today. Got Trevor Dale on with us from Valent. Trevor, thank you so much. Appreciate having you on today.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great day.
Bet you as well. Got another Trevor coming up. Got Trevor Krause with us with BASF. How you doing?
Very well. Thanks for having me.
You know, we kind of got into a conversation there about resistant weeds. What are you seeing on that front? Are you having some new ones out there that you say, man, this one now is getting tougher to control, or adds another mode of action to the ones that aren't effective anymore on this particular weed?
Well, I mean, I'm in Southwest Michigan, and you know, we've had mare's tail issues for years, and that's probably been our biggest challenging weed in terms of burn downs, but definitely water hemp is marching across the state. So multiple resistant water hemp is becoming more and more of a problem, but that tends to be, you know, a little bit later season. It needs those growing degree days before it starts germinating. So right now our big thing is a bunch of winter annuals, and I've heard some of your other callers talk about the the mild winter obviously got them ahead. But the other thing that kind of happened here was that we had a pretty wet fall, so there wasn't a lot of opportunity for fall tillage. So some of those fields now are like, I think I heard one of your other callers say, it looks like a cover crop out there. And that's kind of what we're dealing with right now, is just some real hairy messes. And, you know, even we think about burn downs being important for no-till, but I see a lot of people getting out their chisel plows, you know, the ground beaters, and those chisel plows aren't even doing that great a job. There's a lot of green in between the where the shanks are running, so they're going to have some challenges when they go to fit those fields. You know, those are fields that probably should have been burned down before the chisel plow ran across them.
You know, another tough decision, Trevor, has been when to terminate a cover crop. You mentioned some of these winter annuals are as thick as a cover crop, but there's a number of fields out there of cover crops where growers are debating, you know, when do I knock this one down, or can I spray my residual herbicides on top of that one? What have you seen? And I know BASF does a lot of work on this. What are you seeing as being effective timings and treatments there too?
Yeah, well, start with treatment. You know, we have Sharpen and the brands that contain Sharpen, like Verdict and Zidua Pro, and that's really a key. Sharpen's really proven itself to help speed up the burn down. It's a very broad spectrum broadleaf herbicide, but there's been some really good research showing that Sharpen helps speed up the glyphosate or Roundup burn down of things like ryegrass. So it has a real nice fit in terminating cover crops. And you know, I know it's kind of a balance. People want to reap as much benefit from a cover crop as they can, but I've seen so many instances where cover crops, you know, they're harboring insects, they're harboring diseases, and really I like to see that cover crop well on its way to being terminated before our, you know, the crop that's really paying the bills is coming under the ground. So,
oh, I like that. I like that way of thinking too.
Yeah,
I think you got to keep the focus on what is going to make me the money this year. I got to make sure, number one, that that's taken care of. And you're right. I mean, use as much benefit as you can out of those cover crops as well. Talking with Trevor Krause here with BASF. Trevor, thank you so much. We appreciate having you on today.
Yeah, thank you. Take care.
Talking soybean burn down on today's program and taking your calls and questions at 844-44-AG-PHD. We'll be right back.
Are you ready for better efficiency, more productivity, higher yields? Then you're ready for John Deere Precision Technology, which starts with three core pieces. First, a G5 display gives fast views of your work and a window to future technology. A Starfire receiver gives you sub-inch repeatable accuracy without an RTK base station. And a JD-Link modem gives you a live view of your entire operation. Get precise and talk with your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/Facebook.
Nothing but net. Win your soybean season with the fast knockdown and lasting broad spectrum control of Elevest Insect Control from FMC. Take on army worms, stink bugs, soybean loopers, and more with the maximized ratio of premier active ingredients for better overall control of more than 40 labeled pests. Visit your FMC retailer or elevest.ag.fmc.com to up your game this season. Always read and follow all label directions.
Maverick Corn Herbicide from Valent USA has proven to be a key part of growers' success in fighting problematic weeds. But don't take it from us. Take it from agronomy manager Nate Honeck.
We've seen tremendous weed control that was sprayed in dry, hot conditions with very little rain within 2 weeks after application. Very easy application. Definitely tank mix well with the various products we used.
Visit valent.com/maverick to learn more about Maverick Corn Herbicide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Your farm's greatest challenge is making sure your crop has enough fertility to reach its yield goals. But how do you know if you're applying too much of any one nutrient? Fine-tune your fertility plan with Verify. Your combine collects hundreds of yield data points per acre. Verify takes that data and instantly generates variable rate fertility maps based on crop removal, so you can be confident you're not over-applying. Get started today at verify.com. That's VRAFY.com.
Because the challenges you face are getting bigger every year, BASF is committed to helping with more than boots on the ground. We're committed to boots in the mud, boots on the steps of your truck, your tractor, your combine, the linoleum tiles of your coffee shop, the concrete of your co-op, the gravel in your shed. So we can listen, learn firsthand, help right now to ensure success. BASF, helping you do the biggest job on earth.
It's smart to make the right agronomic choices, and it's even smarter to get rewarded for them. With the Bayer Plus Rewards program, you earn cash back on seed, herbicides, and other eligible products. And it keeps getting smarter, because now you can earn an additional 10% bonus when you send your redemption check to your retailer. To learn more, contact your retailer today. Protect your yields and get the most from your land with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit mybayerplus.com and see program terms and conditions for full details.
Welcome back to Ag PhD Radio. I'm Brian Hefty, along with my brother Darren. We're live in the Morton studio today, talking about soybean burn down and taking your calls and questions. We're going to get back to the phone lines right now. Got Nick calling in from Kansas. Nick, how are you today?
I'm good, fellas. How are you doing?
Doing great. So I hear you got some questions on name brand versus generic pesticides.
I do. I work at a full service co-op myself, and we refuse, not me personally, but the upper management refuses to run generic herbicides, and I'm trying to find a selling point on why they should consider the name brand products, even though they are $3 to $4, in some cases $5 more an acre. And I want to just know, other than what I can see, it's just the respray acres and a little bit of corporate backing that only makes it somewhat worth it.
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, I would say that if we go back many years, the first major product that we worked with that went generic was Roundup, and then it went to glyphosate. And so in the beginning, there were a lot of people that were skeptical. Well, today, we've seen so many of these chemistries come off patent that there are a lot of farmers out there that Darren and I are working with who have tried, I mean, 5, 10, 20 different generic pesticides, and quite frankly, had pretty good luck. So now it's not nearly as big a deal as it was back then. The comfort level is a lot greater going to the generics. Now, that said, you bring up a great point. With the name brand, a lot of the name brand companies, they'll stand behind the product as far as respray, if there are product quality issues, things like that. And I'm not saying that generics won't do that for sure, but not all of them do. The other thing that we commonly see with a lot of the name brand products, it's rebate programs. I mean, look at Corteva's program. Bayer's is the biggest rebate program in the history of agriculture. It's unbelievably huge. So just hundreds of millions of dollars going out to farmers. So that can lower the net cost down to at least close to the generic level. Now, one of the biggest things that I guess I will say to you that a lot of people aren't aware of, and I wasn't at first either, when some of these things went off patent, I was like, oh, it's exactly the same as the next product. No, that's not true, because in many cases, there are other things that go into that mix, and even how things are formulated that could still be patented. So yes, the patent may have run out on the active ingredient. So anybody can get the active ingredient. But if they can't formulate it in the same way, they can't put the same inert ingredients in there, then you will see some differences. It might just be a difference in color or a difference in foaming. Sometimes, legitimately, it can be a difference in performance. I can understand it from your co-op's perspective because and this is one of the things, too, that Darren and I have kind of always talked about. You know, if we make a recommendation and something goes wrong, but there's a company that will stand behind it, then people aren't maybe quite as mad at Darren and me. Now, hopefully, we aren't making mistakes or anything like that, but the challenge with anything we're spraying is always Mother Nature. We don't know when it's going to rain. We don't know what's going to happen with the temperature afterwards and all these other factors. So that's really kind of what it comes down to. But anyway, yeah, I I totally understand from your co-op's perspective. I can understand from the farmer's perspective wanting to save some money. And I will just tell you, we get the opportunity to meet with all the big companies. I get to talk to a lot of the head people in these companies. And so I'm constantly trying to share information on, hey, where is the market at? And my advice to them is always just, you know, try to be competitive. Yeah, your product's probably worth a little bit more because you stand behind it, because you maybe have a little bit better formulation, but it can't be night and day difference. And so if I go back to that original story with Roundup, for a little while, their price was way higher than generic. And I'm like, guys, I can't help you a lot with this. And I mean, a lot of the farmers I'm working with, they want to go generic. And I can't figure out enough reason why they shouldn't. And so over time, they got that price gap tight. And that's kind of where it is today. That price gap is really tight. And at that point, it's not even worth it going the generic for the farmers that I'm working with. So anyway, that's kind of where I'm at. Do you have more questions on that, Nick? Is there anything else that you're wondering?
No, you're really hitting the main points there, kind of what we talk about in our sales meeting. Just one other thing, since you talked to quite a bit of the bigger guys at these corporations,
yep.
The Extendamax deal that we're all kind of dealing with.
Okay.
Any news on that, what we're looking at next year for if they're going to take it and relabel it for just a burn down product and possibly a price correction?
Okay, so first of all, I don't know for sure what's going to end up happening, and the companies, quite frankly, don't either, because they're totally dependent on what EPA does, and then if EPA gets some other lawsuit thrown at them, then they might have to make adjustments also. So there's a lot that could happen. Is there going to be an attempt to relabel Extendamax for next year? It certainly sounds like it, and it will be an attempt to label it post-emerge also. So as far as changing the price, if it was just a pre, would it be less expensive? Maybe. I don't know. I would guess probably not. But I think at this time, the objective is to try to get it labeled post-emerge as well, because there are a lot of people who are using it effectively and in areas where, hey, just about everybody is either planting corn and or Extend Flex soybeans. So we're not seeing near the drift and volatility issues that we were 3 years ago. So a lot of people feel like, hey, we figured out how to use this thing. We're just going to spray it real early post. We're good. So yeah, that's my guess right now. I think it's got a decent shot to get labeled again next year. So we'll see.
Perfect. Well, I appreciate all the information today, guys, and I appreciate everything you do.
You bet. Good luck down there. Thanks a lot for calling in, Nick.
Let's head up to North Dakota. Got Bob on right now. How you doing, Bob?
Pretty good. How about you, Brian?
We're doing well.
Well, that was Darren, yeah. But this is Brian. But either way, we're good here, Bob.
Well, at least I'm talking to one of the right guys, huh?
Yep, you're talking to both of the right guys. But anyway, okay. So I hear you got a question on crop oil together with glyphosate?
Well, first off, I got to tell you a little story.
Sure.
At the beginning of your show today, you were talking about burn down and soybeans.
Yes.
And I thought, oh, God, I ain't going to learn nothing from these guys today. Because I don't raise soybeans.
We need to use your quote, Bob, for our show. Okay. Oh, we're not going to learn anything from these guys today. But anyway, go ahead.
But your first thing that woke me up was using glyphosate when it's cold. And I thought, yep. Oh, yeah, here we go. They nailed it again for me. So you guys do this all the time. But getting back to crop oil,
yes.
With glyphosate,
yes.
Did I hear you right? It does help in colder weathers?
It can make a little bit of difference because it's going to penetrate that leaf faster and more effectively. We see more gain with crop oil when we have thicker leaf cuticles. So in other words, when it's hot and dry, that's where we see more gain with it, especially like if you throw a volunteer corn herbicide in with your glyphosate or Liberty or whatever. If it's got something else to help it penetrate that leaf in a drought like we've had the last 3 years, makes a big difference. With glyphosate in cold weather, I mean, can it help a little bit? Yes. It's not going to help a tremendous amount, but a lot of times it will help the other products that are in there. So, for example, we've talked today about Valor, about Metribuzin. There's several others that it will help the burn down a lot more than it will help the burn down with glyphosate.
Okay. Well, should we be using crop oils all the time then with glyphosate?
Crop oil is more expensive than surfactant. And so,
Okay.
So our advice is always, if you're killing the weeds, why spend more money?
Well, I just like to make dang sure I kill.
It's funny that you bring that up. I was talking to a guy about that the other day, and I said there's a difference between being sure and being dang sure. Now, the word instead of dang made it may have been something different. But anyway, I'll just say, I'm with you completely there, Bob. I don't think it's really necessary most of the time, though. So I'll tell you what, though. We'll talk a little more about it right after this. Stay tuned. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio.
Weeds rob you of yield potential, so rob them of the chance to grow with powerful corn herbicide solutions from Corteva Agriscience. Weeds won't know what hit them, but you will, because you can count on proven top herbicides like Resicor or SureStart 2 or the new game-changing herbicide Cairo to effectively control weeds. That way, you spend less time worrying about unwanted yield-robbing weeds and have more time to power on with your day. Learn more at PowerOverWeeds.com.
It's smart to make the right agronomic choices, and it's even smarter to get rewarded for them. With the Bayer Plus Rewards program, you earn cash back on seed, herbicides, and other eligible products. And it keeps getting smarter, because now you can earn an additional 10% bonus when you send your redemption check to your retailer. To learn more, contact your retailer today. Protect your yields and get the most from your land with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit MyBayerPlus.com and see program terms and conditions for full details.
Here at Ag PhD, we're always looking for ways to support the next generation in the ag industry. That's why at our free Ag PhD Scouting and Scholarships event on Saturday, June 29th, we're giving away more than 100 college scholarships. Join us as we head into the field for hands-on sessions covering everything from how to pull soil and tissue samples, ways to improve crop health, the importance of microbiology in farming, and much more. Plus, in our comprehensive guide to crop scouting, we'll explore both above and below ground in a variety of crops as we diagnose problems with insects, weeds, diseases, and anything else we may find. As we're giving away tens of thousands of dollars in scholarships to eligible attendees, this day is geared more towards students and young farmers, but anyone with a desire to learn more about agronomy is more than welcome. So whether you're a college student or just want good agronomy information, this is one event you won't want to miss. Come to the Ag PhD Scouting and Scholarships Day, Saturday, June 29th on the Hefty Farm near Baltic, South Dakota. Learn more and register at agphd.com.
Get uniform control in your fields with trusted, hardworking Lucento fungicide. Control the toughest diseases with a dual mode of action fungicide that consistently outperforms the competition and field trials. Lucento fungicide from FMC works overtime for lasting control to help improve crop yields. Talk about getting the job done. Visit your FMC retailer or lucento.ag.fmc.com for hardworking control in your fields. Always read and follow all label directions.
Maverick Corn Herbicide from Valent USA has proven to be a key part of growers' success in fighting problematic weeds. But don't take it from us. Take it from farmer Rob Schaefer.
Residuals have become a big part of our chemical programs with trying to battle water hemp, and also mare's tail is our big one. It's done a real good job of controlling those. You don't have to, you know, put a bunch of gallons in your sprayer, cover a lot of acres that way.
Visit Valent.com/Maverick to learn more about Maverick Corn Herbicide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Thanks for listening today to Ag PhD Radio. Brian Hefty, along with my brother Darren, broadcasting from the Morton Studio. And right before the break, we were talking with Bob from North Dakota. Bob, let's get back to your crop oil with glyphosate question. Yeah, it'll help just a little bit. It's just not going to make a tremendous amount of difference, though. I would say like it's leaps and bounds better or anything like that. Most of the time, a little surfactant is plenty good enough. But again, if you have almost anything else in there that is giving you burn down, whether that's AIM, Gramoxone, let's say Valor, Authority, Metribuzin, First Rate, all of those would benefit from crop oil over non-ionic surfactant. So yes, in many cases, you certainly could spend the money. It's just that a lot of times you're going to spend 2 to 3 times as much, so it's an extra dollar or two. I mean, if you would like to go that way and go crop oil, you certainly can. Nothing holding you back from doing it.
What, do you recommend about a quart per hundred? Or?
More like a quart per acre or a gallon per hundred. Yep, either a quart per acre or a gallon per hundred. Yep, that's usually what we say.
Okay. And then one other thing. I heard you bring up the word inert material today.
Yes, yes.
Now, we've been digging into this inert material, and we run into dead ends everywhere. We cannot find what they're putting in there.
Yep.
And I don't ever, I'm 64 years old, started farming in 1983, and I've been to doggone many chemical meetings.
Yep.
And not one person has talked about this inert material.
Yep. Okay, couple of things. All right, a couple of things. First of all, they're not required to report that because that's not the active ingredient. And you'll see it with, I don't care if it's drugs, it's household cleaners in some cases. They don't have to report everything. They could just say inert ingredients. And part of the reason why they want to do that is things could change. There can be similar products that they could put in there instead. So during COVID time, and I don't know if this happened for wherever you're buying pesticides at, but I just know this. We look at the bulk chemical weights on everything. And I mean, for all these products that are purchased in bulk. And so all the farmers that we're working with and for our farm, and we're looking at bulk chemical weights. And for about a year there, almost all of them changed. And what does that tell you? The active ingredient didn't change. That means something in their formulation changed because every company was complaining about, oh, we're having problems with supplies and it, you know, it's all these inert ingredient things. And one of the things I also didn't realize until I was a little bit older is how many inert ingredients there can be in a formulation. So I will just say I was at the main research facility in the United States of one of the major chemical companies in the world, and they were just showing me that one of their products had, off the top of my head, I'm going to say it was 60 or 66 things in it. 60 or 66 things in it, and there were only 3 active ingredients. Right. It was that many things. So, I mean, and even if you list it all out, does it really do a lot of good? Is anybody really going to go, oh, that the 49th thing in there, I don't like that. I don't know. I just don't know that it makes all that much difference.
Yeah. So, it seems to me we're paying for a lot of stuff. We're not sure what we're even getting on the inert side.
Yeah, yep, and that's true. But, I mean, I would just say with literally almost anything you buy, whether it's new equipment, any technology, seed, a pesticide, there has to be some degree of trust there. And the thing is, if you feel like that, I know, and you're chuckling about it, but seriously, we all get to express ourselves with our pocketbooks. And if we at some point don't trust that company's formulation, the seed, the equipment, the whatever it is, then we just say, well, we're not going to buy that again. We're going to buy something else. So that's,
It didn't work the way we wanted it to.
Yep. And, you know, and part of this thing, too, and that's why I wanted to start the burndown discussion with the talk about temperature. Because, like, for Darren and I, we've been farmers our whole lives. We've been agronomists. Well, I've been an agronomist for almost 35 years now. It's a long time. And so I've worked with a lot of farmers that have had issues with things that I've recommended. And I recommended the best thing I possibly could, and we try to figure out, okay, why didn't it work? And that's where it really came back to, this temperature thing is a lot bigger deal than it gets talked about, and I wish that they had this on the label for things to try to maximize how these products work, because unfortunately today, it feels like to me, when I hear all these ads and all this talk about, oh, there's this new product, and oh, it's the greatest thing ever, and you don't hear so much about the downside. What do I need to avoid to make sure it works? And quite frankly, I don't mind not hearing about the downside because that gives Darren and me a job. We try to figure out, okay, what can go wrong? We try to actually make it go wrong, and then we talk about it, and we go from there.
Well, we should sit down and have a cup of coffee someday. I can tell you a lot of stories.
Well, that sounds like fun, Bob. So,
one more I got to tell you. You're talking about Gramoxone on your farm. You know, it is a very dangerous chemical.
Yeah.
And this year, my agronomist was telling me you can only get it in 250-gallon totes or 2.5-gallon containers.
Yep.
Who in their right mind wants to handle Gramoxone in 2.5-gallon containers?
Okay.
Not me.
Yep, but let me go back. This is like 20 years ago, and I was talking to, and I don't even know if it was Syngenta then or whatever name it was, because, you know, all these mergers and everything. But anyway, the company rep I was talking to about Gramoxone, and he goes, well, yes, Brian, it is pretty dangerous, but it's just as dangerous as the gasoline you pump in your car every day. And are you wearing personal protective equipment when you pump gas in your car? I'm like, no. Do you wash your hands right away afterwards? No. Do you eat some food right away afterwards? Well, I have. And he's like, okay, now seriously, you see where I'm going with this. And this is also, I talk to a lot of non-farmers too and give speeches in front of groups and stuff. And I'm like, why don't you think about the gas you're putting in your car? You want to vilify these pesticides. A lot of these pesticides, you could drink them and you're fine. But gasoline, you sure as heck can't, and every one of you pumps that every day.
Well, I'm glad you cleared that one up for me, because when you said gasoline, I was sitting there thinking, geez, it's a big difference, but you're really, it's not.
Yep.
Except Gramoxone won't explode. Will it?
No, and here's the other thing. So Gramoxone technically doesn't smell. They put a smell in there. They do this with a lot of things. So when you smell it, you get away. So I mean, that's a good thing. We want to make sure that we get some kind of alert telling us, hey, we need to be careful with this kind of stuff. But yeah, all pesticides, we're always telling people, follow the label directions, use personal protective equipment, all that kind of stuff, be safe. But there are certainly some products that are way safer to human beings than others. And we're lucky, because so many of the products we were using around our farm as a kid, I mean, they're gone now. But, you know, I was just reading something yesterday talking about food coming into the United States. When they're testing it, they're finding some of the things that we banned here 30 years ago, yet they get to import them.
That's happening today?
Yep, that is happening today.
Oh, my God.
Yep, because in a lot of these...
doing their job again.
Well, not necessarily. There's just a ban on use. There isn't a ban on countries using them, and then they can import the food here. But that's one of the things that I personally think we should probably relook at.
You mean they can do that and get away with that?
Yes. Yep. They can use those products that we've banned in foreign countries, and then the food comes into this country, even though products that are banned here were used on those foods.
I didn't know that one.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Now, see, this is why you want to buy food that we produced here in the United States or in Canada or something. So, anyway, yeah, there are just so many things that the American consumer does not realize that are happening out there. So anyway, yep, you were talking about the stories that you could tell me. I could tell you a whole bunch of them as well, Bob. But we got to run here. We're about ready to wrap things up for the day. Thanks a lot for calling in.
I really enjoy listening to you.
Thanks. Appreciate it. And best of luck to you up there this spring.
Got to talk a little bit about soybean burn down on today's program, and a couple big things here. If weeds are big, don't skimp on the rates, and if you have a chance to spray with really good weather, that helps so much as well. We'll talk more about that, and of course, we're always willing to take your agronomic questions. Just email us radio@agphd.com. Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. Be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio.